company.
Welcome back. Matt Flynn, direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to go to an issue that cropped up in the trial in the Senate that is a non-issue. It's a mountain out of a molehill. But I want to talk about it, explain it, and it's important to talk about. It turns out that there is a congresswoman from the state of Washington, a Republican, a conservative, named Jamie Herrera Butler. That's her name, Jamie Herrera Butler. She's a Republican, but she is also an honest person. She's a Republican, but she's also an honest person. And Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader, told her that the afternoon of the riot, right in the middle of the afternoon, as they were saying, hang Mike Pence, he called up Trump at the White House. The minority leader can get through. He's the leader of the Republican Party in the House of Representatives. And he said, Mr. President, you've got to call this mob off. They're going in there saying, hang Mike Pence. He had to be evacuated. They're about to kill him. And you know what Trump said? He said, well, Kevin, apparently they're more upset about the election than you are. That's what the sociopath said about a mob that was chasing his vice president like a dog, hunting him down like a dog, like a fox in an English fox hunt to get him, to kill him. And they started shouting. McCarthy shouted at him. They were shouting back. McCarthy told a few members of Congress, Republicans, Jamie Herrera Butler was one of them. And she said it at virtual town halls. She said it in general to people in her district, and it got around. But here's the problem. That's hearsay. That's hearsay. So to get that into a trial, you'd have to have Jamie Herrera Butler or Kevin McCarthy say that it happened. Jamie Herrera Butler could say that Kevin McCarthy told her, but that's hearsay too. Although if she said that, it would be a powerful piece of evidence. Ideally, you'd want Kevin McCarthy, and he would say that Trump said that to him. Now, technically, that's hearsay too, but there's an exception to the hearsay rule that if there is a statement by the party being sued, that can be admitted, because if it's false, the Trump could get up there and say, no, I didn't say that. So this is really double hearsay. Well, Raskin, that very wily Raskin, he did a very good job. The lead impeachment manager brings a motion, says we want witnesses. And he talked about Jamie Herrera Butler. Basically, they wanted that piece of evidence in. Is there any other evidence they need besides what they had? No. They had all of the video. You don't need to subpoena the guy with fur, horns, and war paint, the shaman QAnon, the QAnon shaman. Put him under oath at a deposition, go, are you the QAnon shaman? Yeah. Is that you in the fur and the horns and the war paint? Sure is. You don't need to do that. There's video for it. And these senators, 100 of them, were witnesses. They're the ones being chased like dogs through the hallway. Mitt Romney, people like Schumer, the rest of them being chased. And also, do you really need a Capitol police officer's testimony when you can see them being beaten and trampled, beaten and knocked down on the tape itself? No, you don't need that. All you need was Kevin McCarthy's statement about the conversation where Trump goes, McCarthy goes, they're going to hang Mike Pence. They're going to hang your vice president. They're going to murder him. And the sociopath Trump goes, well, apparently, Kevin, they're more upset about the election than you are. And he doesn't do anything. And Pence has to call the National Guard. Pence called the National Guard, not Donald Trump. So, but how do you get that in evidence? Raskin is quite a wily sort. Very good litigator, did an excellent job. He goes, we need witnesses. Well, predictably, remember this. There are 50 Democrats, 50 Republicans. Kamala Harris breaks the tie, so we have 51 votes. They can do whatever they want. They can subpoena any witness they want. They could limit the other side's witnesses. They can do whatever they want. The Republicans squeal like stuck pigs. Oh, no, then we need 100 witnesses. We need Kamala Harris. Why? I don't know why they need Kamala Harris. We need Nancy Pelosi. We're going to throw a lot of sand in everybody's eyes. And then they go and then they take a vote. 55 to 45. 55 senators said, yeah, we'll do witnesses. And five of those are Republicans. Five of those are Republicans. Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, Collins, Murkowski, Toomey. They went for witnesses. So Raskin had this in the back of his pocket. And a lot of commentators who are bored and they have nothing to talk about go, well, then he should have gone through with that. And this trial should have gone on for two more months while they deposed a lot of people, take their depositions, drag them in somehow. Well, Raskin is quite sly about this. So they meet in the reconciliation, which you're required to do in civil court on discovery. If you have a discovery dispute, the judge will say, in Milwaukee County or Dane County, he'll say, all right, guys, meet. And if you can't come up with a resolution, I'll deal with it. But you have to meet and confer first. So they meet and confer. Not required in the Senate, but that's what they do. And they come up with this. They come out and they say, the Republicans will concede that that can be put into evidence in this trial. And the statement, what he did was he circumvented a double hearsay objection that Trump said that to Kevin McCarthy, because he did say it to Kevin McCarthy. This isn't rocket science. He did say it. So Kevin McCarthy says to him, Mr. President, you got to call this off. They're trying to murder Mike Pence. Trump goes, well, Kevin, apparently they are more upset about the election than you are, in a silky sociopathic voice. That's what happened. That is what happened. That's what happened. So what happens there is suddenly all the pundits go, oh, Raskin, why did you give up the right to have witnesses? Because you could have dragged this out for a long time, and the heck with Biden's agenda and COVID relief and blah, blah, blah. That's baloney. If you've tried a case at all, you know that there's an arc of emotion in a case, and you cut it off at the ascending part of it in your favor. They got Richard Burr of North Carolina and Bill Cassidy of Louisiana to vote to convict Trump. That was amazing. Their arguments got, instead of five votes, seven Republican votes. They were not going to get Ted Cruz. They were not going to get Moscow Mitch. They were not going to get Wormwood, crooked little Lindsey Graham. We weren't going to get them. They were not going to get them. If this thing had dragged on 4 or 5 weeks and they deposed everybody, including the janitor, they wouldn't have gotten Burr and Cassidy. It would have been down to five votes. And all it would have done, people would start yawning. The jury has heard the key evidence. If a judge says to you, okay, sir, you still have five more hours of testimony if you want it, you don't go around and think, well, I'm going to find somebody else to fill the time. Fill the time. No. Brevity is what you want, as long as you have all the evidence. And by piercing the double hearsay connection or objection, Raskin did a marvelous job, and they all did a marvelous job. So I'm watching people like Jake Tapper on CNN and Ari Melber on MSNBC. But Ari Melber's a lawyer. He's a good lawyer. They know what's going on, but they don't want people to start to yawn as, oh, well, the Democrats should have dragged this out. No, 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 no. They weren't getting 67 votes. What they did is prepared a monstrously fine presentation to the entire country, to everybody in this country. Everybody now knows that Trump said, well, Kevin, apparently they're more upset about the election than you are. Doesn't care about hanging Mike Pence. Okay, we're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're the third caller, Wisco Paul. You've already won a T-shirt. You win another one. Wisco Paul, what's in your mind today?
Oh, that's kind of cool. At any rate, thanks for taking my call. Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, is already out golfing with Trump. Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, has aligned himself with Trump, and I wouldn't be surprised if Trump is in the state campaigning for him in a year and a half. It just, because you still see Trump signs and flags through rural Wisconsin, but I'm driving through right now. Bottom line, Matt, is I don't know what the the Democrats are going to do in Washington, but they better get on their high horse and work on getting what they want passed and do it now, because there's no bipartisanship. That's going to happen. Joe's going to have to put forth his infrastructure plan and things like that and push him on through, because you have to ask yourself, what would the Republicans do? And there doesn't seem to be any repercussions out here. And with that, I'll give Luke my address. Thank you.
Okay, Paul, thanks for calling in, my friend. Yeah, you hit a real good point, and that is Trump now, he's going around, oh, I was acquitted. What, 57% of the Senate thought you're a crook who incited a riot and should never run for office again, because they would have also voted to bar him. 57%, and you think you're acquitted? You weren't acquitted. What happened was that back when the framers drafted it, they didn't want people lightly throwing presidents out. You know, in the old days, they would have thrown them out because they didn't want a tariff or because they didn't want a peace treaty or something. And so that's why they built it in. But now it's almost insurmountable. I can't think of anything 67% of the Senate would get together if it meant taking out of power an incumbent president of the minority party. I just can't. And here, think about something else. The fact is that he was already out of power. He was already out of power. He's down there rotting at Mar-a-Lago. Even though that's not a constitutional impediment, and they were untruthful about that, the fact is that it took some of the air out of the balloon, all right? It took some of the air out of the balloon. So as a result, that's what you get. So Raskin did a great job. He did a great job. Now, to Paul's point, yeah, I think that Ron Johnson, my name is Ron Johnson. I come from Wisconsin. I work for Moscow there. He's going to run again. He gave his word that he wouldn't. He ran against Russ Feingold twice. And the way he won is he said, okay, now this one's my last term. He wasn't telling the truth. He's sniffing all over the state. And I agree, Trump will come in. They'll stick him in some area of the state where there's still some Trump signs. And he's really like a vampire. You know, there's no silver stake that can hold him down. And suddenly, you know, he's back and there he is. So all I can say is cover him as little as possible. Twitter has him off right now. I don't know if they'll keep him off forever now that he's not president. But that party is splitting between Trump and traditional Republicans. We're going to talk about that after the break. But the fact of the matter is that the Senate is split, the House is split, the Republican Party is split. And you're right, I think, that he's going to come in and campaign for Ron Johnson. That's why Ron Johnson has been servile to him, servile to Putin. That's why Ron Johnson, Trump attacks the FBI, Johnson attacks the FBI. He's a Republican. He's a senator from Wisconsin. And we can't have that. Got to get rid of this guy. Going to a break. The lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.